Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. Well, this morning, we will be taking a break from Leviticus. Everybody say, air. You're just kidding, right? I'm sure you all love Leviticus. You've all been blessed and you just can't wait to get back to it. Anyway, it's just a break of 5 weeks, okay? And we're going to be covering five current life issues, which we trust you will find relevant. And they would be on gender and sexuality, mental health, life purpose, and identity crisis. And this morning, we will be talking about loneliness and building genuine community. Now, as I think about loneliness, I can't help but remember a very old lame joke, which I heard when I was young, and it went like this. Why was the skeleton lonely? Answer, because it had no body. Okay, it's quite lame. But I think it highlights a very important facet of our topic today, because loneliness is, in a real sense, having nobody to meaningfully connect with. Yet, jokes aside, loneliness is a serious issue, and governments are recognizing it to be so today. In fact, I'm not sure how many of you know, but two countries, the UK and Japan, actually have appointed ministers of loneliness. Now, just in case you think Singapore is very absolved from this, we are not. In fact, in last year's National Day rally, our PM Lee highlighted how loneliness is one of the biggest threats to the well-being of our seniors. Now, if you're thinking that this is a old people's problem, it is not, because a January 2024 poll by our Institute of Policy Studies, a very credible body, of over 2,000 young adults is telling us that more than 60% of them are afflicted with some form of loneliness. Now, an honest question for us this morning, and you don't have to raise your hands, when was the last time you felt lonely? Perhaps it is as recent as this morning. Well, I'm going to flesh out some situations. I'm not going to read them out, but I just invite you to read them and just see if you connect with any of these situations. So if I could have the slide of the first five situations. Okay, if I could have the next slide. These are the next five situations. Okay, I hope the font is not too small. Now, if many of you are like me, we will identify with some, if not many, of these situations. For some of us, perhaps we have felt lonely, but not in one of these situations, but we have felt lonely. Or for even some of us, we have felt lonely for most of our lives. This morning, we will explore God's Word together about loneliness and building genuine community. And I hope to cover two key points. The first being that God does not desire us to be lonely. And the second point is that God designs us for genuine community. And may I invite us to bow our heads in prayer as we explore God's Word together. Gracious Heavenly Father, open our eyes this morning to behold wonderful truths, life-transforming truths, truths not just to tickle our minds, but truths to touch our hearts, that it might transform our lives. Let your word be living in our lives and our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us explore the first point together. that God does not desire us to be lonely. Now, for this point, we will briefly revisit Genesis chapters 1 to 2. First, we remember God's creation story in Genesis chapter 1. And here, seven times, God felt good about what He created. I've listed all seven situations there, but I'm not going to read them out. Now, the next thing is surprising, because in Genesis 2:18, God declares something that is quite shocking. It reads, "The Lord said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" Now, this is the very first "not good" that God declares. And God says that it is not good for man to be alone. Turn to your neighbor and please say, "It is not good for you to be alone." Now, was Adam also lonely here? I think so, because at this point, he had no other fellow human being to connect with. So in that sense, Adam was both alone and lonely. Now today, of course, we know we can be alone, but we do not feel lonely because we have genuine relationships in our lives. But conversely, we can also feel lonely when we're not alone, when we're with people. You can feel lonely even if you are in this congregation. I was told many young adults actually feel lonely when they're with their families. Quite sad. And what does God say about Adam being alone and lonely? He declares it to be not good. Now, God's statement is very surprising. Why so? Because at this point, Adam had a perfect relationship with God. Sin hasn't happened yet. And Adam had one clear law to obey: don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam had everything provided for him to live. So you can be very surprised when God says, "It is not good." For me, if I wrote the creation story, I would have ended it here. Except this means the Bible will only have one chapter and there will be no humans to read it. So you must thank God that I'm not God. Otherwise, none of us will be here. But more seriously, what can anything not be good for Adam? What was not good? I think we have three helpful clues from the book of Genesis. The first clue is in Genesis 2:18, where God had said, "I will make a helper fit for him." So why is it not good? Adam needed help. The second clue is in Genesis 2, verses 20 to 21. And here, after God had brought all the animals for Adam to name, it is recorded that there was no suitable helper for himself. Now, from this, we can guess that it was not good because Adam did not have a human helper. Right? None of the animals could help him as a human could have. And the third clue is when God created the woman Eve and brought her to Adam at the first time, and we see Adam's reaction, and he says, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And what was Adam's reaction? "Wow!" Or some would say, "Whoa, man!" And that's how woman came about. No, just kidding. Now, more accurately, right, what Adam said is an Hebrew expression that means blood relations. In Hokkien, kakilang. For our guests, kakilang means own people, family. Now, we must recognize that in Hebrew, this is poetry. And when poetry is spoken, it is something that flows out of our hearts. And for something that flows out of a heart for a man, it's a big thing. Now, from these clues, we can conclude that what was not good for Adam in Genesis 2:18 was that Adam was lonely. He had no fellow human being to share his life with. Life for Adam was not complete despite his perfect relationship with God, despite having work to do and a way to walk, and despite having everything provided for him to live. An area, a critical area of Adam's life was still missing, still not good. Not a sin, but still not good and missing, because Adam was alone, lonely, as he had no one to share his life with. Now from this, we move on to our second point, which is that God designed us for genuine community. Now what is genuine community? Well, we have to begin with the word genuine. And genuine means real and authentic. No genuine fakes here. A genuine community for me is simply a gathering of people who have genuine relationships with one another. Now from Genesis 2, I believe that God gives us a picture of a genuine human relationship through Adam and Eve. This relationship is for me the highest, the deepest, the purest kind of human relationship. The purest kind of a genuine human relationship, as this was the first human relationship that was sinless. And it was a relationship that was initiated and blessed by God. Now, it is clear that the first human relationship that God created here was a marriage between Adam and Eve. How many of you are married? Can you look happier when you raise your hands? I was just kidding. Encourage those who are not, you know. You know, marriage is a gift from God. Some of you who are happily married will readily agree with me. Others of you may be wondering or feeling, you know, my marriage always brings out the worst in me. Well, when that happens for me, I find it always helpful to remind myself that the worst was already in me and that God simply uses my spouse to call out the worst in me, possibly so that he can work something better within me. My friends, those of us who have done marriage prep counseling will know this, that God uses our marriage not to make us happy, but to grow us holy. Now, as marriage is a gift of the Lord, so is singlehood. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 very clearly articulated that singlehood is a gift from the Lord. The second thing we must remember is that Jesus himself was single and he was certainly perfectly whole. Now, as I share about singlehood, I can't help but remember a dear friend. She's in her 50s now with her peers. But I remember when she was in her 20s, she was just so happily single. And she was happy to remain single because she had wanted so much to do missions work. And then in her 30s, God brought her a man which she knew that he wanted her to marry, and she joyfully married him. Here is a sister, happy to remain single and yet joyfully ready to be married when the Lord had other plans for her. As I share about singlehood, I'm also reminded of our senior pastor, Kay Kyung, and I can share this because he shared this publicly in a sermon, that he has told his daughters, remain single if you can't find a godly man. Reminds me of a joke from a godly single person asked about singlehood. And the response, tongue-in-cheek, given was, I rather want the person I don't have than have the person I don't want. Coming back to Genesis 2, while it speaks of Adam and Eve's relationship as a marriage context, here is what Old Testament scholar David Atkinson in his Genesis commentary in Bible Speaks Today says. It is personal intercommunion between the two sexes, which is what life in the garden now seems to be all about. Men and women are personal beings who can delight in the presence of other persons. In other words, we can glean characteristics from the ideal genuine human relationship of Adam and Eve, which can apply to all human relationships, whether married or not. Given such, let me highlight two very essential characteristics of what this ideal genuine human relationship looks like from one verse in Genesis 2:25. Now, there are many more characteristics we can glean from Genesis 2. I found at least five. I will leave you to reflect on them on your own. But let me come back to Genesis 2:25, and this verse reads, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Now, from this verse alone, we can glean two very key essential characteristics of the ideal, genuine human relationship. The first is total authenticity. Total authenticity found when it says they were both naked. They can be real. In covenant's language, nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide. The second is there's a sense of complete safety in that they were not ashamed. While they were naked, they were not ashamed. In other words, there's this sense that there was no fear of judgment or condemnation, a sense of being totally accepted by each other. Now, I believe these characteristics can apply for any genuine human relationships, be it among brothers, sisters, or a group of brothers and sisters. Where these two characteristics of authenticity and safety are present, and they describe a relationship, I believe that forms a genuine community. At this point, allow me to humbly ask a very loving but difficult pastoral question. Do you have a genuine community? Do you have a genuine community? Now, if you are lonely because you don't have a genuine community, can I humbly submit to you that your feeling lonely could be God's loving way of signaling to you that a critical area of your life is not good. Not a sin, but not good. Now, we must recognize that genuine communities are not easy to find. This is because there are no perfect communities. You see, even the perfect relationship that we saw in Adam and Eve, it was fractured. That perfect relationship was fractured when they sinned against God. And when that sin happened, humanity fell. What then were the effects of the fall? Well, once they had eaten the forbidden fruit, Genesis 3:7 tells us, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. In short, they were now naked and ashamed. Hey, what happened? Seven verses ago in Genesis 2:25, we read that they were naked and not ashamed. What happened? Humanity fell. Shame. This is one effect of the fall. And what happened next? Genesis 3 verses 8 to 10 tells us, Adam and Eve hid themselves from God. And why so? Because of fear. So from each of them having an intimate, personal relationship with God, and with each other, shame, fear, and guilt now drives Adam and Eve into hiding from God. Their fellowship with God was now fractured. Next, in Genesis 3, verses 11 to 13, we see the fracture in the relationship between Adam and Eve, because here Adam blames Eve and even blames God from the way he now calls Eve as the woman you gave. Wonder what happened just earlier when it was all wow and woman and stuff. Now the relationship was fractured. And of course, Eve blames the serpent. So as we can see, there were now relational fractures between Adam and Eve, each with God, and Adam and Eve with each other. By now, they felt shame, fear, guilt, blame, mistrust towards God and towards each other. And these feelings, these sentiments, still afflict relationships today. No wonder genuine relationships and communities are hard to find and to form. These emotions are very toxic in relationships. They make authenticity and safety very challenging. So my friends, if these are emotions which afflict you, my humble encouragement to you is to deal with them because they are toxic for you and your relationships. Yet God, in His amazing love and grace, would redeem these fractures. He first dealt decisively with the root of all relational fractures, which was the sin of Adam and Eve against God. You see, over 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, so that the relational fracture of man with God can now be reconciled and restored when we receive the forgiveness we have in Christ based on what Christ has done. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 18 and 19 tells us this, that all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Based on what Christ has done, believers today can once again start building genuine relationships and forming genuine communities. Yet, as we all should and must know, there are no perfect communities. In this, I'm always reminded by what our leadership mentor, Pastor Ed, would often say, there is no perfect church. Even if there was, it would have become imperfect the moment I joined it. Likewise for any community or church. There are no perfect communities. There is no perfect church. So if you came to Covenant thinking it's a perfect church, I'm sorry, you will be disappointed. As such, I hope that none of us do not have a genuine community because we are looking for a perfect one, as there is none. I have the joy of growing up spiritually in Covenant, and that's over 30 years ago. This is my first church. And I can honestly share with great thanksgiving to God that we do have many communities that are growing to become genuine communities. And we see them in many of our cell groups. And even our ministries, such as the men's, women's, marriage, parenting, senior care and covenant, cancer care ministries, and various other ministries. As a church, we do value, we do try to be as authentic and safe for one another as possible. Today, by the Lord's grace, I belong to various such genuine communities, be it my men's ministry, Men in Covenant Brothers, some couples and brothers in my cell group, some pastors and leaders from other churches, various married couples and young adults whom my wife Ping and I have the joy to journey with. And these communities have helped me to grow spiritually as a person, as we sharpen one another, experience God's grace, acceptance and love through one another. If I look very happy in these photos, I am. If I look as though I'm very connected to communities there, I am. Yet this was not always the case for me. You see, I grew up a loner and a lonely person. Perhaps it didn't help that I came from a dysfunctional family where my parents were often stressed and strained in their relationship. From young, I suffered rejection I was insecure and I masked it up with drivenness and acting tough and proud. My former classmates jokingly remind me that they used to remember me coming into class, shirt unbuttoned, sleeves rolled up, even my short pants were rolled up. Yet, amidst all that tough exterior, inside, I often felt pain as I was often left out of classmates' gatherings or birthday parties. So I got involved with a small gang of guys who would hang out at snooker parlors, look cool smoking cigarettes, and just going around looking for other guys to beat up. So if you're one of those guys, please forgive me. All these feelings of rejection, insecurity, pride, acting tough, and putting up a mask stayed with me throughout JC, university, army, and even when I started work and became a believer. Then when I started work and was doing relatively well at the time at the bank, and when I started serving in church, and when I found my wife to be Peng, a most beautiful woman then, and still even more beautiful today in my eyes. She's here, by the way, so better say the right things. I felt better, but I became proud. So it took a severe crisis in the early years of our marriage to break down all those pretenses and to remove all those layers of masks that I was wearing over myself. The crisis opened up my prideful, wounded, loner heart to a genuine relationship with an older man who became my spiritual father. His name is Dwight. Through Dwight, I experienced God's love and acceptance despite the mess I was and I was in. This transformed my life and began the healing of my primal wounds growing up, my loneliness and rejection, my pride and insecurities, my almost failed marriage, and some disappointments that I was already having as I was already serving in church by then. As God healed me over time, I grew from being a loner to becoming a brother to others. And I soon found a band of brothers, which eventually led to the founding of the men's ministry in Covenant MIC. So these are my brothers in the current MIC leadership team for which I am thankful. My friends, I hope my journey encourages us. There's healing in Jesus' name. Amen. There's healing in Jesus' name. I wouldn't say I'm fully healed, but I am very healed from the time I came to know Christ. I'm mindful that some of us here may be lonely today. Lonely because you have been wounded. Wounded perhaps growing up in your families like mine. Wounded by your schoolmates, friends, colleagues, and fellow Christians. And we are lonely because we intentionally avoid communities. We rather bear the pain of being lonely than being hurt again in community. If this is you, my heart goes out to you. In the language of younger people, I feel you. I feel you because I've been there before. And so many times in the pains of rejection, I just wanted to isolate myself and withdraw and give up any positive expectations of genuine relationships of communities to protect myself. I don't want to feel hurt again, so I rather have zero expectations. But thanks be to God, I did not. Because each time when I wanted to give up, God pursued me. He pursued me through people who did not give up on me. He pursued me through sermons like this. Through it all, I realized that while I could give up on God, while I could give up on God's people, God would never give up on me. So my friends, if this somehow is you, please hear these words. God will never give up on you. He does not desire you to be lonely. He designed you for genuine community. And He will never give up on you until you are found in that community that He has for you. There's a statement which I heard some time ago which has some truth in it. And it goes like this. If you have been hurt in community, you need to be healed in community. I believe there's some truth in it, because as much as God has allowed your hurt in community, He will work your healing through community. You see, for myself, through a relationship with Dwight, my spiritual father, God began my healing. And as I started to heal, I realized that part of my healing required my becoming a brother to others. And soon we became a brotherhood. We grew together, accountable to one another, loving and blessing each other, encouraging each other and sharpening one another. You know, this phrase, one another, occurs 59 times in the Bible. And in these 59 times, it teaches us how to relate to one another. So, brothers and sisters, community is very much at the heart of our faith. I'm a district pastor, so I oversee cell groups. And each time I visit a cell group, and when I see a gathering of God's people, I often remind them, Jesus died for this. And what's this? It's a gathering of God's people. Because you see, when we gather, we're not gathered as strangers. We're not gathered as friends or ministry partners. We're gathered as family. And Jesus died for us to be family. I remember a cell member once who said, you know, Pastor, after you said that at that meeting where I was, I started to attend cell group regularly. And my encouragement to you is this. Each time you are in a community of God's people, remember, Jesus died for this. As I healed, I grew to becoming a genuine person as I started to find my genuine community. Now, how do we become genuine people? You know, oftentimes we struggle to become a genuine person because we either can't accept ourselves or can't believe that God would accept us. If this is you, I encourage you to embrace God's truths, like what Simon Siao led us in this morning during the worship time. For me, there's one particular verse, and it is Romans 5:8, which particularly always speaks to me. Because it reminds me that God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't say, clean up your act, then I will accept you as we were. With all my unclean mess and dirty rubbish in my life, Jesus showed His love, accepted me, and died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. My friends, this is God's amazing love. When this truth no longer stays in our heads but grips our heart, it is often what begins our healing journey. And as we heal, we will experience God's strength to then live out Romans 15:7, which tells us, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us for the glory of God. My friends, it is when we feel accepted by God and when we can accept others as a result thereof. This is what makes us genuine people, and we can start growing genuine relationships. Now, will we still face rejection and disappointment when we try to become genuine people? Absolutely. But God will give us the strength to press on. To press on and stay as a genuine person. And when we do so, what happens is we will encourage others to grow likewise, to grow to become genuine persons, because they see that in us, they value it, and out of that will birth a genuine community. One final word before I close us in prayer. Now, there are some of us who are feeling lonely. You're feeling lonely although you have a genuine community. You have a great relationship with God. You are a genuine person. You are even actively serving in church or leadership. But there are times you feel lonely. Well, if this is you, perhaps God has something to say to you through that loneliness. And you should seek Him about it. But perhaps not. What then? Well, if you have sought God and you don't hear anything, perhaps it's just part of our being fallen human beings. Maybe such feelings of loneliness is simply to remind us that there is a glory that is yet to come. A glory that we will only realize when we are in the heavenlies with the Holy Trinity in eternity. I invite us to bow our heads in prayer. I'd like to pray for two groups of people this morning. The first group is this. If you are lonely because you are looking for or struggling to find a genuine community, would you prayerfully ask God to lead you to one and trust in His amazing love to grant your heart's desire? First group, you're looking for a genuine community. The second group, if you are lonely because you have been wounded by community, and you know you have been avoiding community just so that you won't feel hurt or disappointed again. Now, if this is you, would you ask God to heal you? To let you experience His amazing love afresh? To receive that forgiveness that you have in Him at the cross of Calvary, so that by His stripes you are healed. My friends, if these are your desires this morning, I'm not going to invite you to raise your hands, but I would like to give you a few moments to just talk to God about it. Perhaps you need a fresh touch of His amazing love. Perhaps you've recently been wounded again, and you're at a point where you kind of feel, maybe I should just give up. And this morning, God is saying to you, don't give up. I've not given up on you. I have a community for you. You be that genuine person, and you be a builder of genuine communities for My glory. The Word of God declares that God, who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us, will He not also graciously with Christ give us all things? Let us believe and trust in our gracious God as in a moment we arise to sing of His amazing love.
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.